when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Pentecostal Church over here on the west side of Manchester. We want to greet every one of you in the precious name of the Lord and remind you that we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 on this radio station. We want to get into the teaching and ministering of God's Word today. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. And now we will go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light. Psalm 78. This covers the life of the children of Israel and bringing them out of Egypt and all the great work that God did for them. And it was written to show us an example or show us what God did for that generation and those many generations. There were several generations. He allowed one generation, that generation that did not believe him in the wilderness. He allowed many of them to die off, and they did not enter in. The Bible says in verse 1 of Psalm 78, "Give ear, O to my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter the dark sayings of old." Speaking of the children of Israel, he begins to speak about them and all that he did for them, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. This is how other generations learn about God. They learn about God from the older generation. Are you listening? There is a certain level of responsibility that the older generation must understand, that you are being looked at by a younger generation. And you that have an experience with God must realize that they are looking, this younger generation's looking for something in you that you have that they want. Are you listening? And in the church world today, there is a major responsibility for the older generation to teach the younger generation, not just in words only, but in their deeds and in their actions. We can't expect our children and our families and our loved ones to do something that we're not willing to do. Amen? So he says here, "which have heard and have known," in verse 3, "of our fathers and have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." Amen. The Bible declares that God has done great things for every generation, and we ought to share this with the younger generation. Verse 5, "for he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they make known to their children, that the generation to come," somebody say the generation to come, "that the generation," verse 6, "to come might know them, even the children that should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." Amen. He's talking about the passing down of your experience, your knowledge, and what you have eyewitnessed that God has done for you. It is your responsibility. It is my responsibility. And if you don't have children, it is still your responsibility, amen, to tell about the goodness of your God and all that he's done for you and all that you have witnessed that he has done. that the generation to come might know them. What is that? Know the ways of God that should be born, even to them that are born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. He's talking about that generation of Israelites that came out of the land of Egypt, that God showed them all the miraculous works of the plagues as He allowed them to be delivered from 430 years of bondage. It was Joseph that declared, God is going to send, a deliverer. Yes, Joseph was a prophet. He knew that God was going to send a man. That man was Moses. He got his marching orders, amen, from that burning bush. When God said, I'm going to send you back to my people, and you go to that Pharaoh and you tell him to let my people go, after 430 years from the taskmasters and the hard labor camps and using them and treating them like slaves, God finally sent His deliverer. His name was Moses. He is a type of Christ, that He would be sent to deliver the people of God. I'm talking about a deliverer. I'm talking about they had been this way for 430 years, but God said, I hadn't forgotten about them in their misery. I haven't forgotten about them in all of their hardship, and all of their pain, and all of their suffering, and all that they've done that has turned their backs on me and forgotten about me as being their God. He says, I am still a God that keeps covenant with my people. They have broken the covenant, but I'm going to be faithful to the covenant with my people, and I am going to send Moses into the land. But all brothers and sisters, that generation witnessed the power of God bringing 10 plagues upon the Pharaoh. He brought all death and destruction. He brought the plague of frogs. He brought the plagues of the lice. He brought the plagues of all the darkness that came across the land, turning all the water into blood. You know all of them, and for time's sake we can't go through all of them, but this generation seen the almighty hand of God bring a deliverance to them, to turn the heart of that Pharaoh who would not let them go. But through a 30-year period of time, God sent Moses and Aaron time and time again to step into the courts of the Pharaoh and say, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, or greater judgments will come. We don't serve just any God, Pharaoh. I know that you think you're God, but we serve the Almighty God, the God that has all power, the God that has all authority in the heavens and in the earth. And this God says, let my people go, or I'm going to bring greater judgment upon this nation. And that's what God did. He brought judgment upon the land of Egypt. And you know the story. He brought a deliverance to His people. It was a mighty exodus. All of those people were brought out, and they didn't go out empty-handed. They were brought out with much gold and much of those artifacts. That gold was to be used one day, amen, for the artifacts and the vessels in that temple. God had a plan, hallelujah. But I can tell you this, brothers and sisters, that generation seen the almighty hand of God, but yet they still did not believe He was able to feed them in the wilderness. Are you listening? Could you imagine God opening up a Red Sea and allowing them to cross on what? Dry ground. But yet they were not steadfast in their faith to believe in the power of this great God. Verse 6, that their generation might know to come. And verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and by might not be as their fathers, a stubborn. They would not believe. They really weren't steadfast. After all that God did for them and showed them, they still were stubborn to say, oh, we want to go back to Egypt. Oh, listen to me, brothers and sisters. Amen. That's what grieved the heart of God. He called them stubborn. He called them rebellious, a generation that did not have their hearts right, whose spirit was not steadfast to believe in their God. The children of Ephraim, the Bible says in verse 9, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in the laws of God. Amen. And forgot His works and His wonders that He did and showed them, marvelous things that He did in the sight of their fathers and in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. Verse 13, He divided the sea, hallelujah, caused them to pass through and made the waters to stand as a heap in the daytime. Also, He led them with a cloud and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought the streams also out of the rock, hallelujah, and caused the waters to run down like rivers. They sinned yet more against Him by provoking Him, the Most High, in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking for meat for their lust. It wasn't good enough. What You've given me isn't enough, God. Oh, listen to me. If there's ever been a generation, amen, in our generation that is spoiled, a sense of entitlement, somewhat thinking that God owes us something. God doesn't owe us anything. He gave us everything. When He nailed Himself down upon that cross and laid Himself down upon the cross, He gave it all when He gave His only begotten Son upon the cross of Calvary to die and to shed His blood that we could be redeemed back, hallelujah, by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God doesn't owe this generation nothing. We owe God. The Bible says here, in the daytime, He led them by the what? The cloud, the fire by night. He gave them water, amen. But yet they continued to sin against God. I would figure after seeing all of these miraculous miracles, signs and wonders that are undoubtedly done by the hand of the Almighty God of all creation, that you would think He was more than able to give you some meat to eat for your family and give you some water to drink and to take care of your basic necessities through the day. But yet we, as humans, our mind is a carnal mind. It is a mind that is the enemy of God. Are you listening to me? And that's what I want to get to this morning. I want to talk about three key things that are hindering me and you and the church world and many of God's people from receiving more that God has for us. I'm telling you, there's an element that hinders God from wanting to do all that He wants to do for you, for your children, for your husband, for your wife, for your grandchildren. There's one thing, brothers and sisters, God cannot do to help you, and that is a spirit of unbelief. God calls that a heart of unbelief, an evil heart. This is that generation that He killed off in the wilderness, tempting Him, murmuring against Moses. Moses said, God's going to do great things. God's going to do this. God's going to do that. And yet they still doubted God. How did they doubt God? They didn't know God, but they knew God through Moses. Now, Moses was His mouthpiece, but yet when Moses would speak for God, they kept murmuring about the man of God. He's crazy. How's God going to do that? How's God going to provide? I feel that we are in a time period where there's many of us that have seen and witnessed the almighty power of God in our Christian walks, but yet we still have come to the place where we are limiting God by our unbelief. If we can understand and identify that this is our greatest hindrance in our day and hour, why aren't we seeing the healings that used to take place in years gone by? Why aren't we seeing the miraculous wonders of the blinded eyes being open, or the deaf ears being open? I'm telling you, the demons being manifested and cast out. Why aren't we seeing people that are crippled get up out of the wheelchairs? Why aren't we seeing, amen, those that are full of sickness sickness and disease and cancer. It just dry up in their body. Why aren't we seeing the miraculous power of God working in the church? Because there is an evil heart of unbelief that has crept in to the church world today by a generation that truly has never witnessed the power of God. And when you haven't witnessed something firsthand for yourself, that means you've got to rely upon taking someone else's word for it. But I'm here to tell you, I don't want secondhand experience. I don't want an experience from somebody else. I want to be one that has come in contact with the genuine power of God for myself. I need to witness it for my own self. Can you say amen? You have got to get an experience with God for yourself. I've told my children, will you serve God when you move out the house? Are you just going to church because daddy so-called makes you go to church? Come on now. How many Christian children leave the house and they never step a foot into the church? The only time they ever went is when they were living under daddy or mama's roof. I want my children to serve God, not just because daddy's serving God, but because they know him for themselves. And what we have is a secondhand experience generation that really doesn't know God. They only know about him by what other people have told him. They only know about him by what others have said about him. You cannot live a victorious Christian life by knowing him on a secondhand experience. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. He said, yes, I met him on that Damascus road. I was apostle, but I met him, amen. And I was a man that was born again on that road to Damascus. I know I didn't meet him and walk with him like the other apostles, but he came personally to me on that Damascus road. He struck me down with a power and a bright light that I'd never seen before. And he says, I am Jesus, Paul, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, but I have chosen you. I'm going to use you. And I'm going to give you a power to take this gospel and all that you experience with me to a lost and dying world that's sitting in darkness and have never heard about this great God. I'm getting ready to turn you to the Gentiles, and I'm going to put a power in your life. I'm going to put wisdom in your life. I'm going to show you great depths of revelation, knowledge, and understanding that when you go into the highways and byways and into the synagogues and the cities, there's going to be a power in your life. It's going to be the power of the living God manifesting through you because you really know me in a genuine experience. God can take the most vile, wicked person and make them a man or a woman of God with a real experience with God. There was nobody that could turn Paul back because he knew whom he had believed in. And he was persuaded. How many are persuaded? Amen. That I know him. I know who he is. He's more than just a story. I know him more than just a song. He is a reality of knowing that his life is living on the inside of me. I've got a great one living inside of me. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And if Christ be for us, who can be against us? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm talking about an experience beyond what others have told me about him. I'm talking about an experience where you can say, I know who Jesus is. I know who he is. Hallelujah. They tempted God by asking for meat. Verse 19 says, yea, they spake against God and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? After all that you've seen him do, you still don't think he can give you food? Amen. Let me take it a little further. I'm going to do a little preaching to myself. You don't think he can help you pay your bills? You don't think he can help you pay your mortgage? You don't think he can help you pay that rent? You don't think he can put food in your cupboards? Why do you keep tempting God, Nathan? Why do you keep tempting God, church? Why do you keep saying, is our God able? Yes, he's able. He is able. He is more than able. I can prepare a table for you in the midst of your wilderness. Yes, your bank account don't have much money in it. Yes, your rent's due. Yes, your bills are due. Yes, the credit cards are due. Yes, you don't have much work coming in. But we serve a God that is our Jehovah Jireh. I wish I could get somebody to help me preach right here. I said, he's my Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, my God, that provides. If you believe it, say amen. Somebody say, he's my provider. I want you to say, he is my way maker. He can prepare a table for me. He is who he says he is. I know I look crazy up here. To some of you think I'm a fanatic. But yes, I'm a fanatic for Jesus. Amen. I'm sold out to Jesus. Glory be to God. Can he provide and furnish a table for you in the midst of your wilderness? A wilderness is a place where there's no food, no substance, no nothing to live on. We're not talking about a forest out here with all the leaves and the trees. No, we're talking about dry and arid desert place. Nothing to eat, no water, no animals to eat, no nothing. Is God able to produce something out of nothing? Come on, somebody. All things are possible to them that believe. And I want to take it a step further. What are you believing in? If you're believing in yourself, if you're believing in your ability, your talent, how you can make things happen, how you can go out and get a job and somehow, listen to me, brothers and sisters, amen, with all of our talent, all of our ability, all of our tactics of what we can do to generate finances and make things happen, I'm telling you, it is our God that with just one movement of his finger, he can open up the windows of heaven and he can begin to pour you out more than you could ever contain. I'm talking about pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give unto you? Because God has said, I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless her. I'm going to bless them because they believe me and they trust me and they know that I am their Jehovah Jireh. If you believe it, say amen. Yea, they spake against God. Be careful. They speak against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Verse 20, behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, they heard this and he was what? Raw, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Talking about his people not believing that he is able. Could it be that what is hindering us from seeing God do greater things in our life is that element like that man had when he came to the disciples with a demon-possessed son and said, what? They could not. And listen, what is impossible with the disciples not being able to cast out those demons that were looking to destroy that boy, Jesus said, bring him to me. Amen. That man came to Jesus and said, could you help us? Your disciples couldn't help us, but bring him to me, Jesus said. And can I tell you, that's the answer for every one of our problems. The children that are out of control, our finances that are out of control, amen, our lives that are out of control, we need to bring it to Jesus. I wish somebody would help me right here, because some of your lives are in a tailspin of confusion. I'm here to tell you, I've been having turmoil in my own spirit. I've been challenged and tried by God, and God has been dealing with your pastor, but I can tell you this, he's telling me, Nathan, bring it to me. Bring
Bring your problems to me. Bring your circumstances to me. Bring your situations to me. He says, I'm allowing all these things to happen so that it can get your attention. And you can begin to realize that I am able to provide. I am your Jehovah Jireh. I am your source of everything you need. Don't look to man, because man is not the one that can do what your God can do.
As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church over here on the west side of Manchester. My name is Pastor N.R. Davis, and we want to invite any of you that would like to come out and visit us here on the west side of Manchester. We're at 417 Granite Street. And that is in Manchester, New Hampshire, on the west side. We're a multicultural church over here preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we would like to invite you to come out and visit us. We start our Sunday services at 11 o'clock. And we also have our Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. You can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. Find out all the information in regards to our ministry here in Manchester, and also our missions work and our different outreaches. We want to invite you once again to go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. We want to remind you that we also have a Facebook. We'd like to invite you to look us up on the Facebook, The Abiding Light Church. Also, you can follow us on Instagram, so we would encourage that. And also, just want to let you know, if you can't make it out to a service, you can go to our website, and we are live streaming our services at 12 o'clock on Sunday and also Wednesday at 7:30. So if you can't make it out to church, that's okay. Go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com and scroll down to the Mixler live stream tab, and you can go into a service and listen to us live on the live stream. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in today. And until next Saturday at 3 o'clock, this is Pastor N.R. Davis, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.